I'd like to read from the First Epistle of John. First Epistle of John, page 1478, and verse 5. Halfway through, I'll read the whole verse. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then in the fourth chapter of the same epistle, the end of verse 8, for God is love. Herein, as to us, has been manifested the love of God, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the witness that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. Son of God has not life. This morning we sung hymn 222. And in it mentioned that God, the God of life and the God of love. And it made me think about that for the preaching, because the gospel is about God and what he has done in love towards you, and the life that he's able to bring to you, and the light that he's able to shed in each of your hearts to bring about blessing. And so, John, the epistle of John, he wrote his epistle, and he was one that knew the love of God, and he knew the love of his Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and he was able to tell us a little bit and give us a witness to what a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. And he mentions all three elements of my thought, really, that God is not only love, God is also light, and he's also life. If we start off with the God is light, rather. It tells us elsewhere that men are lovers of darkness than light, because their ways are evil. Now that's where we start from, all of us. You know, we prefer darkness where we can hide away, where we can think we can do things without anybody else knowing. You know, God is an all-knowing God. He's one that can see even into the darkest corners. And he's sent Jesus as the light of the world to illuminate and expose us. Light in itself, I guess, is invisible, really. It's a waveform, isn't it, that we can see the effects of. So light in itself is invisible. And it's a bit like God. God's invisible, but the effect of God and light on us is it manifests or makes known or shows up absolutely everything and exposes everything. And so if you're in a darkened room and there's a crack of light that comes into the room, the light goes straight across the room and will illuminate what it's directed at. A bit like a torch that you'd light and shine in a room. It points out exactly what you're pointing at and shows up what it is. Many features of light, if you think about it, go back to your physics in school, it travels in straight lines, doesn't deviate. You know, God is a very perfect God, never changing. And, you know, the light that God shines into your heart is penetrating, cuts a straight line, it doesn't deviate. John's Gospel starts off, as we know, about light, doesn't it? And in chapter 8, tells us a little bit more about that. Jesus said, spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus came into this world to absolutely show us up for sinners and to allow us to move from that place of darkness, which is where we all start at, as away from God, as sinners. We like to be in that dark corner, away from God, to hide ourselves. And yet Jesus has come in as the light of the world, to light the way for our blessing. And in doing so, he exposes everything that we are in our sinfulness. And he shows us up against him as the pure light, the one that's perfect. You know, when we think of light, it's so important, isn't it, for life, even physically. We think about God created the sun, didn't he? He gave the sun to rule over the day, and he created light in that way. One of the first things God was to do. And, you know, that light, that theme of God's nature as light comes right down to this very day for your blessing. Think about how important light is for living. Think about our plants that we see. Plants use the light, don't they, to convert the sugars into energy to grow. And when we see a plant growing, it's quite noticeable that plants grow towards light, don't they? And, you know, that's a lesson in itself as well, because God is light and God is attractive. He would attract each one of you towards himself as the loving God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you don't need to return to it. It speaks there, verse 6, because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That tells me that the Lord Jesus is the one that has shown the heart of God to you and to me, because he's shone that light into your heart to make known God. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. He's come to this earth to make God known. He's come to this earth to save you, to bless you. What a wonderful thing it is. He's shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God. What a wonderful thing is that the greatness of God and his glory and all that he is, you can know because of Jesus. And that's the blessing that you come into as trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. You can know, tells us by the Spirit, you can know even the depths of God. And Jesus is the one that gives you that access to know, access to blessing, knowing the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, the reception of the Holy Spirit so that you can understand the great truths of who God is, God's nature of light and God's nature of love. Which I guess brings us on to the next verse I read in John's epistle in chapter 4. Which again links to the fact of the Lord Jesus coming into this world. Herein to us has been manifested the love of God, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God is love. What a wonderful thing it is to know the love of God. You know, you find that in Jesus. You know it through him. And it's only been possible because God sent his Son. For God so loved the world, it tells us, doesn't it, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. The one that came here so that you may know life eternal. You may be saved. He sent it into the world that you might live through him. I want to think a little bit about the nature of God's love. It's everlasting, and that goes without saying, because God is from the beginning to the end. He has no end, he has no beginning. And therefore God's very nature is like that, without end. It tells us in Jeremiah when he spoke about the people of Israel, chapter 31, Jehovah hath appeared from afar unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. That was obviously the people of Israel, but I think it can be applied even today, is that God has loved you with an everlasting love. You know, he loves you when your back is turned on him. He loves you when you reject him. He still loves you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, it tells us. What a wonderful thing it is that he loved you when you were still a sinner. And if you're still a sinner tonight and haven't had those sins forgiven, Jesus loves you. God loves you and wants you to be blessed and come to know him as your own personal saviour. I suppose the other nature of God is that he's everlasting and he's unchanging. I think when you think about the unchangeable nature of God, it thinks of the verse in James. I'm just trying to find it. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation nor shadow of turning. You know, God's nature, not only it speaks there of light, interestingly enough, but also Father of lights. But God's nature of love, you know, is of no variation nor shadow of turning. And that's a wonderful feature of God, in that he doesn't change. And his love doesn't change. He still loves you. He still wants your blessing. He still wants you to be blessed. He's gracious. I guess we see that in the giving of his beloved son. He's gracious in that he wants you to be blessed tonight. He's allowing the gospel to be go out again for you to be saved tonight. You know, we read this afternoon about the scepter being available and being able to reach out and touch it. God is gracious. He's reaching out and will bring about blessing. Think of the Lord Jesus when here he could reach out and touch the leper. He could touch the blind man and he could raise up the dead. He could lift up those that with their ankles and bones that were frail, and he could lift them up, and he did it by reaching out and blessing. You know, for us, though, it requires us to put our trust in the Lord Jesus absolutely and perfectly and have the faith to accept God at his word and Jesus' work that he did on Calvary's cross. Because the purpose of God sending his son into this world was to lay down his life and shed his precious blood so that you might be saved. He did it. You know, he did it so that he could bear the sin, my sins and your sins and the sin of the world. And you know, when Jesus bore sin, God brought about 3 hours of darkness. You know, God's nature of light couldn't be seen when Jesus bore the judgment and the wrath of God for my sins and for sin itself. It was blotted out so it couldn't be seen by anybody. The Lord Jesus bore it himself, alone. You know, God forsook him. God couldn't have sin in his presence. The Lord Jesus bore it himself for you and for me, so that we can be cleansed, we can be made righteous, we can be made perfect, so that we can be suitable to be before a holy and pure God. That's why Jesus came here to die for you and for me, to bring about our blessing. And it requires us to simply, by faith, accept the word of the Lord Jesus and the work that he did. Mm-hmm. Jesus died and was shed his blood. Mm-hmm. Tells us that the soldier pierced his side and immediately there flowed out blood and water. That blood is the cleansing power, mm-hmm. the cleansing work of the Lord Jesus to bring about the washing away of our sins. That blood was poured out for you and for me. It was poured out as an absolute witness to God for our blessing. And Jesus not only then died and was buried, but he rose again from the dead. And the Lord Jesus is alive. Mm. If Christ be not raised, you'd still be in your sins, it tells us. Mm. You know, the blessing of the gospel is that Jesus is alive tonight. God is gracious because Jesus is alive to allow you to put your trust in him while the opportunity is available. That opportunity is for now. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What a wonderful blessing there is available if you accept Jesus at his word and repent of your sins and completely change. Repentance is a complete turning away from how you were before to a new way of life, which is centered in Jesus and completely turning away from the sinfulness that's been before. Doesn't mean we don't sin. Sadly, we all sin and we do things that are wrong, but thankfully we have Jesus is a high priest who is able to make intercessions for us and is able to forgive us and save us and bless us. But the eternal salvation and the eternal forgiveness is an act that Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me, that if you accept the word of Jesus, he'll wash your sins away completely, never to be brought against you again, completely obliterated and washed away. What a wonderful Saviour he is. Mm. And so he's able to give us this life because Jesus is alive. The whole gospel is centred on the Lord Jesus, centred on what he has done for you and for me. And as a result, not only is God light and God is love, he's the God that's able to give life. Mm. Life, eternal life. In chapter 3 of John's Gospel, that you may have eternal life. And then in John's epistle, he reiterates that really, and he says, "This is the witness that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life." It's very clear, very black and white, isn't it, the Gospel? It's either you're saved or you're lost. You know Jesus as your Saviour and you have life, or you don't. You reject Jesus, you reject the offering love of salvation, and you don't have life. You know, it's an awful thing. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to be saved, or we persuade men. The terror of the Lord, you know, I think that's a very strong language, isn't it, in the Bible. It's there, though, to alert us to the awfulness that there is there for the unrepenting sinner. Mm. A terror of the Lord, God's judgment that will be upon every man, woman and child that rejects the Lord Jesus and his offer of grace. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we persuade men. The gospel is spoken of as a love of God and the availability of the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. But it's God who will turn your heart in repentance. It's by faith, by the Spirit's power, God's able to do it if you'll accept his word. And that's what's needed in the gospel tonight, is that everyone accepts Jesus and his word, and that you have this life that can be found alone in Jesus. You know, there's no other opportunity, no other person that can give you this life, this salvation, and it's eternal. And so the very nature of God is for your blessing, the very nature of his love and his light to enter your heart is all given by God so that you may have the enjoyment of life. Not only is that life eternally to be spent with Jesus, but it's a life that you can have as trusting in Jesus and knowing someone that will be able to help you and guide you and be a help in every aspect of your life. Which brings me to a scripture I just thought of, which is in Psalm 119, which is about the Christian pathway. I guess you can think what it is, but I'll refer to it and read it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the Lord Jesus, or God himself, the word that he speaks in the Bible, as it might come to us through his word, is a lamp, it says, to my feet and a light to my path. You know, we should be guided by the Lord Jesus every day of our life. And he shows us the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also is the one that will direct us the right way, in the right paths. And he will illuminate that way so it's made easy for us to follow after him. And that's what a Christian's to do, is to follow after the Lord Jesus and find the light that's directing your pathways. May you trust in the Lord Jesus tonight for the first time, if not before, and find this one that is able to guide you and help you in every aspect of your life. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.